Baby, you electric.
So the sooner we do this, the sooner I can edit this and publish this, and we can prepare for the next episode, and then I can do my two no filters, and then maybe you can sing.
I play Xbox. I'm on vacation.
All right. Vacation, Sean.
Hello, humans. Welcome to Audio Face, episode 67. I am Sean.
I'm Dan.
This is a podcast about music. Music news, all the things, because there are a metric shit ton of albums to review. So today we're doing two albums, John Butler Trio's Home and Lil Wayne's The Carter Five. And tomorrow we'll be doing three other albums that are coming out, that came out as well.
Yes, so...
Also, we didn't record Sunday because I was BRB triathloning and we weren't about to record that day. So
I can do some... I can do like a minute of programming notes. So the feed has been a little weird this past week. That's kind of anticipation of kind of just what I got to do, plus our schedules, plus music. So I released the episode I did with Hassan. You still got to listen to that.
I did. And I have to talk about it another day. I want to like dive in. So in our next like normal-ish episode, I guess, whatever, I'll do the thing.
Yeah. There's also, there's a lot of Kanye news going on right now.
No.
We will talk about it, but not on this episode. I have a Kanye expert. Someone who can bring in a different perspective that will hopefully be coming on the show at some point. But yeah, there's that previous episode with Hassan that you should have heard of. There's that episode that's like a primer on Lil Wayne that we released 2 weeks ago that you should have heard of. Episode 65 bonus, I want to say. And then we'll be doing tomorrow's episode on Logic, Dylan Francis, and Roosevelt.
Yep.
Absolutely check that out. We'll be releasing that tomorrow if you're listening to the podcast today. But if not, then both episodes are up and it's chill. And yeah, Sean, you did a triathlon. You're second place in your age group. That was great. Had a fun time.
Dead.
You're dead. So let's just get right into it. Is that the first story, really?
So Cardi B turns herself into the police, after an alleged strip club fight. Stay classy, Cardi.
Yeah, this was after...
Oops!
This had come out that she apparently sicked two of her security guards on some of the bartenders who had worked there. Apparently one of the bartenders had a fling with Offset, which set Cardi B off. But this seems to have been from the past.
Always gotta be something from the past, right?
So it's just like a vindictive kind of thing. And you know, I've been pretty much on like Team Cardi B and the Cardi B versus Nicki Minaj kind of brawl, but this is really not a good look for Cardi B.
Hey, Cardi, not a good look. No, just stupidity.
Yeah,
But hey, she turned herself in, allegedly, so hey. Turn herself in, that means you're paying up.
Just because you admit to something doesn't mean that you're paying up.
Because you could get lawyered and be like, I'm going to turn myself in, and that way I get a deal.
Yeah. Or you can do the Kavanaugh route and not still get a deal. Anyways.
Beers are ruined forever.
Childish Gambino has postponed his tour because he broke his foot.
I've just laughed because all I imagined was Della Funko Homo Sapien falling off stage. When he said broke his foot, all I thought was, he should get out of my head because I'm out of my cage. And then Damon going, you there good, bro? Yeah.
It sucks that I was actually going to go to one of these shows. I was going to go to one of the shows that was canceled.
Are you going to go to Inglewood one?
Yeah.
And tomorrow?
I would have gone tomorrow. Yeah, sucks to suck. Oh, well. I wouldn't have had time anyways.
I would say, when would you have gone?
Yeah, but he should
unless
be...
You would have got, unless you want to go to L.A.
Yeah, he's going to be
16th to 17th.
He's going to be rescheduling that, and I'll get tickets for that. So that'd be cool. But yeah, if you're expecting to see Gambino can I see the shows? if you're expecting to see Gambino by the time you're watching or reading listening. Or watching this or listening, yeah, whatever. Glendale, Austin, Denver, Nashville, or Austin, Texas again, then not happening. So he's not doing any of his Austin City Limits dates, but he should be returning New Orleans.
Austin City Limits, ACL's fucking cool.
We're also expecting Childish Gambino's last album to come out sometime this fall, so that'll be interesting to see.
And now we'll hop into our first
Let's review jump album. Into a review of John Butler Trio. This is an kind of definitely indie-ish album.
Folk country is the... kind of what I would describe it as.
Right.
It's not pure country because I didn't hate it. And
for starters.
I mean, that means I guess I'll just go in. So it is They're 12 songs long. I don't know how long the album is. It's not popping up. Whatever. yeah, you can pop it up on your phone.
Continue, yeah.
So it starts off as pretty country, Tahitian blue. And then after that, it kind of mellows.
First song.
Yeah, for the first song. And after that, kind of mellows out into more of an indie folk type stuff, with obviously very, very acoustic, kind of atmospheric type sound is the best way I can describe it. And overall, I quite enjoyed it, actually. I listened to it twice through, and overall, I liked the album. The second half, to me, I liked a bit more than the first half, because the first half was a little too country, but that's just my personal preference, because I don't really like country. And the second half was pretty good. Overall, I mean, I remember I listened to Flesh and Blood a bit. Like, you know, because I remember when he pushed it down that we have John Butler Trio, I go, fuck, what did I listen to before? And then I go, okay, that's a previous work. And I enjoyed it, not as much as I enjoyed this. I think it's a little bit more of an evolution of John Butler Trio. A bit more put together, a little more, trying to think of the word.
Refined,
like, yeah, exactly. I'm like, forward, starts with an R. Yeah, exactly. A lot more refined, a lot more tuned up.
The hard R.
Hard R award. Just, we're gonna
wait for the Audio Face Awards later.
Audio
this year.
Face Awards are gonna be freaking crazy.
They're gonna be so lit this year.
There's gonna be so many bleeps.
Anyways. It's 55.
55, yeah. I would say it felt like just about an hour.
56.
So, and it was the perfect length for me for this album, to where I got everything I wanted out of it. And it wasn't long, didn't feel like I was dragging on or anything. Is my mic being weird?
Yeah, adjust that while I talk. You've literally got it plugged in a strange way.
Oh, whoa, I didn't
know. Like, clip the strange way.
Do you want me to re-clip it, or it doesn't matter?
Yeah, just do it while we're going.
Sorry, humans.
But yes, you won't notice the mic thing at all, because I'm pretty good at editing, hopefully. But what I agree with you that a lot of this album kind of began kind of more country or folk. Yeah, I would say even more folk than country.
The first song is straight country. Tahitian Blue is pretty country-y. And then the other ones are folk.
Yeah, fair enough. I think they're Australian too, so...
Are they really? That's kind of
Yeah,
cool.
That makes it really interesting. I had listened to John Butler Trio's album Sunrise Over Sea that came out in 2005, and that was my kind of biggest recollection of them. And then since then, I hadn't really heard much of their work. It's definitely very different from what I heard in 2005, which is good. But yeah, it kind of has an airy, warm, not quite calm, but like, yeah, just folky acoustic sound to it. And this is, there's like a niche for this, that loves this kind of music.
I mean, like Fleet Foxes are one of my favorite bands. Like stuff like that. I love indie folk in that way. Except Mumford & Sons. Fuck Mumford & Sons.
Yeah, this almost, but, that's what I was going to say. Like, this sounds like Mumford & Sons,
but
not
doesn't in the, suck.
Not,
actually,
yeah, not in the ways that I hate Mumford & Sons.
Because I fucking hate Mumford & Sons. A, they didn't use a banjo. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's my ears. Banjos, no. And they're not like super, they're not fake hipster, where they're wearing pant sizes too, like three sizes too small. That's, and having beards that are out and look like Santa Claus and tying them with rubber bands. They're just like, hey, I got style. No. Sorry to put you off.
No. let's see, if I had to pick one of my favorite songs, I think it might be Home, just because...
Home's pretty good.
It's like so I think what they did with this album was introduce synths in a very light way. It's not overpowering in any way. It's not even in every single song. It's just, it's here and there as a couple times just to accentuate things. And I think it's a very, like, dip your toe into the water kind of exploration with synth. But,
It's an evolution of them, and I quite like it.
Yes.
You know?
It's pretty good. Today's ranking system will be Amazon's minimum wage.
It's woke. So, higher the minimum wage, the better. The lower the minimum wage, the worst. Is that what we're doing?
Yes.
Okay.
And we're assuming that their $15 minimum wage law is just, like, standard. Because, let's be real, that is what people should be getting paid minimally for a... full day's work to survive in the United States. Hashtag no politics.
Because wages have been stagnant since neoliberalism entered the fray in the 70s and 80s.
Anyways, John Butler Trio, I would rate this a $20 an hour. So it's definitely above average, but you know, you can...
I was going to... Yeah, that's pretty close to what I was going to say. I was going to say 21, 23.
Nice.
Like, I guess adjust for inflation, you know, a little bit housing markets, a little...
Tie that sucker to inflation.
No, exactly. Got to put a little inflation on it. Just because they added synths, which I wasn't expecting, honestly. I go, ooh, a little electronic artist. That's a little inflation.
It's a little secret sauce right there. But overall, it was a really solid bit of work. And then we'll be reviewing Lil Wayne in a bit, but a little bit more news.
Hashtag no politics. J. Cole admits he didn't vote in 2016 because apparently Hillary wasn't voting for me. If it was
Hillary
Bernie
wasn't
Sanders,
motivating him.
And he said if it was Bernie Sanders, I would have showed up and voted. J. Cole, you just got six notches down the Not a Little Bitch Award. I hope you know for just saying that right there, because you now are on the short list for the Vince Staples Woke Award.
Hell no. This is not woke enough for me to...
Oh no, I mean, he's like on the short list. He's not on the list. The list is this long.
Now, yeah, J. Cole's on the list of woke, but he's not on the short list. The short list is the short list.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. I always get that confused.
Flipped up. Always
hit them. Okay, sorry. He's on the list. He's on the short list. The short list is...
Fair enough, but he's like... He's not so much on the woke list so much as he's on the not Kanye West list. Of course, we criticize him for his wavering on how his opinion on SoundCloud rappers. And if you want to hear about SoundCloud rappers, check out the Hassan Piker episode. Only available via audio.
Wait to talk about that.
You will talk about that later.
Not today.
Yes. Day.
But anyway, so he said that if it was Bernie Sanders, I would have showed up and voted. I would have been the first one in line. No bullshit. No disrespect to Hillary. Fuck that disrespecter. Dumb neoliberal fuck. Hashtag no politics. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting to see somebody talk about that and actually go that route, because most of the people that we've heard say, oh, you have to do everything to go against Trump. Oh, you have to go with her. This, like, the whole Lana Del Rey shit. Yeah, all of what happened last year that
everything
we can criticize.
Like reactionary in a way. Yeah. That's not, I don't want to use the word reactionary because that's a very much a trend on the right wing.
Reactionary right.
It's very much just being a counter reaction to Donald Trump as opposed to standing for something.
For actual politics and policy. And that's, reading this is okay. He actually looked like he wanted to do something different.
Like, it's easy enough for celebrities to treat it as a passive exercise, or treat voting as a passive exercise, or treat participating in politics as a passive exercise. Yeah. But to say something in the affirmative for what you believe, I think is the stronger part of when you're making
a statement. He gets a couple notches back on the Not a Little Bitch Award, so I will now put that in consideration.
This is one of those weeks where, interestingly, you are being nicer than I am.
Because that's my deep disdain for Hillary.
We will leave
you
it at
know,
that.
You know about that, but hashtag no politics.
Let's go to someone else who is
my deep disdain.
Bargaining. Yeah, let's go with your other deep disdain.
Ticketmaster. Ticketmaster's being sued for allegedly incentivizing scalpers. God, I hate Ticketmaster so much.
It's like when you
choke you.
It's like when you fight hot. It's like when you find out that the bank robber has a deal with your bank.
I mean, I can't. I was about to go on a tangent.
Please stop. Please stop.
I want to, but I'm not going to, because you're not at work right now.
We've done enough politics. I've done enough politics today.
That's your job, and I'm not hosting a fucking show.
This is weird when we record Audio Face on weekdays, because you just kind of get the scattered brain dust.
It's hard. That's why I warned him, but I told him I'm not going to get bleeped. So, anyways, so apparently Ticketmaster and Live Nation, ooh, saucy, are being sued for working with scalpers. Whoa, apparently it's undercover investigation by the CBC and Toronto Star at a ticketing convention in Las Vegas.
Thank you, Canadians.
So I guess journalists were pitched on Ticketmaster's professional reseller program. And from there they realized, oh, whoops.
So basically the way I'd read the story was that they had a special program, and it's even on their website. I think one was called Trade Desk, but there was another program that was like a Ticketmaster, like, professional rewards program that was called. I forget the exact name, but long story short, it was like a partnership that would incentivize people who are reselling tickets off of Ticketmaster in order to kind of push that secondary market. When you might think, wait a moment, the secondary market is problematic because they resell tickets for a highly marked up value that usually acquired using bots and other things that make it harder for fans to buy tickets from artists at the base level price that should be set.
Mm-hmm. But the free market will correct itself.
Of course, as it always does, especially with building codes. We've talked about this many times before, like Ticketmaster screwing people on previous episodes of Audio Face. Yeah. Like, honestly, just dig in. We love it when people go back and listen to old episodes. A ton of people do that. And you'll get to hear all this all the ways that Ticketmaster is screwing you, all the ways they're trying not to screw you, and all the ways they're still screwing you.
Relatively, yeah.
Just being one of those other ones.
Yeah.
Let's jump in this. I'm very excited to talk about this. Lil Wayne's The Carter 5, it is here.
23 songs, hour and 27 minutes.
Whew. Definitely one of the longer Carter projects. No, definitely one of the longer Lil Wayne projects. I think this is the longest Carter.
Yeah, and that's a lot. That's a fucking lot.
5 years in the making?
It's a lot of music.
Oosh, which one of us should start first?
Shit. I sort of jumble the trio, so in tradition you go.
Like I said, tradition doesn't usually work like that, but I will take it anyways. I can listen to this album fully through so long as I skip the first two songs.
Literally, what I was going to say. Fuck you on the first two songs, rest of the album.
You're allowed chill. I Love You, Dwayne. Barely, just because it's like, it's a mom thing, and it's a, first of all, just don't leave voicemails anymore. You're going to end up on a rap album for sure.
And also, it's funny, Logic kind of did the same thing too, but we'll talk about that tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about that tomorrow. Please don't start me on a tangent now, but you're allowed that it's like his mom thing. The second one is a feature with XXXTentacion.
And by the way, if you want to go on TMZ and watch that and dude's pulling him in his car, his murder is caught on TMZ.
TMZ does have the death video from another angle. I'm not saying watch it, I'm saying grab loop. So I really didn't like the XXXTentacion album the song, because he keeps doing these posthumous features on albums, and I think I threw in an article about that so we can have that conversation tomorrow.
Yeah, there's a lot of,
because we've talked about posthumous releases in some form before, previously on Autoface, but this is another one of those from XXXTentacion that has come out, and I don't feel like the music industry should support this kind of person for the things they are on record for saying, coinciding with their accused behavior that his fans still try to deny as if they are.
See, even I own up to stuff that happens in my favorite bands. Like the drummer Sigur Rós, we'll talk about that.
We've got that.
Let's talk
a Lil Wayne.
We'll talk about that tomorrow or another day. But let's talk about Dwayne.
Let's just talk about Dwayne Carter.
You go.
Yes. So yeah.
Fuck the first two songs.
Fuck the first two songs. You don't need to listen to that.
Let's go ahead.
After this is the Lil Wayne you've been waiting for. Mm-hmm. This is the Lil Wayne evolved. This is Lil Wayne showing, yeah, I could do the trap thing, but I'm really not gonna. And I'm still gonna kill it. And that's beautiful. This is Lil Wayne, in a lot of ways, staying true to his roots of like classic beat-based hip-hop, while in another ways, going further with the production, going in new places, obviously including a lot of new artists, having like newer mm-hmm. flows and evolving his rap game and lyrical game, which is still in rare form. I mean, you've got some features on here that are okay, but not wonderful. I'm not going to be playing Travis Scott's feature or Nicki Minaj's feature that much. Nicki Minaj's feature, by the way.
Nicki Minaj was actually a good song.
It's pretty decent. And
they did a duo type thing.
Yeah, this is them singing, which is kind of cool. Mona Lisa is going to take me a couple lessons to take seriously. Mona Lisa's this feature with Kendrick Lamar, where he's, they're talking about using a woman as like a ploy to get access to this man's like finances and like fuck up his business and everything. It's a honeypot.
Fuck with your friends in your life. In scary enough.
Even your money. it's a honeypot story. But I actually love the song Dope Niggas with Snoop Dogg.
Question. Am I allowed to say that title?
No.
Damn.
This is for your good. For your own.
For my own sake. Okay.
Yes. I love that song. I liked how these songs have different flows. There's slow songs. There's high songs. And I'm going to have a hot take after this, but I want you to...
You want me going right now?
Yes.
I quite enjoyed it, actually. Dedicate and Can't Be Broken are really good songs.
Can't Be Broken I really liked.
I came into this going, when I saw the first scene of XXXTentacion, not rest in peace, I hope you get forked. I listened to those two, and I go, oh, fuck. This is going to be a really long day. And I just kind of put it off for a second, and then I picked it back up, and I listened to Dedicate. I go, holy hell, whoa, okay. My body's ready for this. I like this. And he kept kind of toying with the trap idea most of the album, where he, like, put in little things of trap here or there, but it wasn't there was barely of it anywhere in the album.
Like, it would have the backbeat without the snare.
Yeah, exactly.
Without the hi-hats.
And then he had a couple snare parts in certain songs, but it wasn't with the really overloaded bass and stuff. It was more of just the trap snare, but not full trap. And he was kind of teasing it a little bit, which I liked. It's a little, you know, different than most of the year of everybody doing the same shit. Mona Lisa, I can't take seriously. That is one of the stupidest songs I've heard all year. And it literally just made me laugh. And then right now, I was listening to it again before the podcast. I just started laughing my ass off. I go, dear God. The whole album, actually, I really liked it. Production was good. The features were pretty good too. None of them weren't that bad. I liked Dark Side of the Moon with Nicki Minaj. I thought I wasn't going to like that song going into it. But listening to it, I go, hey, I really like this. They kind of went into this duet thing, especially the end part of the song. I go, this is awesome. I really like the flow and how it sounds. Dope, and I'm not allowed to say it allegedly, with Snoop Dogg, Snoop Lion, whatever he wants to go by again. Was a good song. And then Demon I liked too. But overall, album was fantastic, actually. I am pleasantly surprised. And yeah.
Shout out to Uproar. Which goes really hard. It's a very fun song. And it's a flip of partially the Harlem Shake, but also partially a 2000 song called Special Delivery. And
that's what the Harlem the Harlem Shake. I was trying to figure out what
a
something.
A little bit, but that's even softer. The real thing, like the dun 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 dun, is sampled from Special Delivery back in 2000. And it was like, seeing the video for that and then hearing this is just surreal because it shows how much production and rap has changed. And again, Uproar could have easily been a trap song, but it's not. And
it goes hard.
It's so good.
It goes hard.
It's really good. Like, this is like, I finished that. After that song, I was like, Dwayne Carter, you are in rare form. Like, this is a really good song.
Dwayne Carter, you are in rare form.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, this is as long as a trap album is, which is more just the economics of the music industry now at this point.
And also, it took five goddamn years. So
it took five
I'm
years.
Giving him a pass. It's like if you wait 5 years, you are allowed to post an hour and a half album. New rule.
This is a very, very fair Sean. I am very surprised.
Fair, but balanced, and unafraid.
Wait, can we insert the rocket noise from Fox News alerts just right here?
Oh my God, I know exactly what that sounds like. I need to leave this place.
All right. Minimum wage.
Minimum wage.
This is a solid 60 an hour.
Jesus Christ. 60. Damn. You would tank the world economy.
Ballin'. Okay, maybe this isn't a minimum wage.
That's not a minimum wage. $60.
How about this?
Motherfucker.
How about this? Minimum wage.
That's like $300, $300,000 a year.
Minimum wage, no welfare state.
No welfare state. So just, I'm giving you a utopian society of $35 an hour and homeless spikes.
You all have money now, fend for yourself.
Exactly.
That's kind of how I realize how I feel about the minimum wage, is that the more money I do give you mandated, I'm willing to get rid of things like Social Security and Medicare because you have $60.
You know, that's actually...
Oh my god.
I just got ideas and ideas and ideas, and I can't do that because I'm going to start. I'm going to put up Welcome to the World Today with Sean Soares instead of Tarik Ali and just go on an hour and a half tangent.
If you want the Syndicate 23 political report, you should leave a comment on this video,
please, God,
or write a rating and review on iTunes, and maybe we will start a new podcast. I don't know. I have nothing to do. let's move on. Anderson .Paak is trying to save the rap game.
Who the fuck is Anderson .Paak?
Really? That's funny. You're going to regret having that recorded. Anderson .Paak is a...
I'm literally blanking. I've heard the name before, but
he's a decently... An X-rated cut of RoboCop was on Amazon. I'm not sure people... I didn't know there's an X-rated cut. Okay. Where are the tits in RoboCop?
Where's the dick and balls?
Okay, anyways. Anderson .Paak is a pretty decently known rapper and producer who has been around for a good amount of time and has done a lot of features here and there. But he is... working on a song that he hopes is like...
I know who he is.
Got it?
Okay, got it.
He's made a couple of annoying songs, but...
Point .Paak.
Yes.
I didn't read his name up the front. I had a Momo. Okay.
Let's see if we can finish this.
Sorry, go,
in time.
Go, go.
But this album's please. Allegedly... Ooh, yeah. This album's allegedly coming out in 2018. Has stuff from Madlib, Freddie Gibbs. Madlib is a producer for Freddie Gibbs. Madlib's going to be on it. Doom, potentially. Dr. Dre. Kendrick Lamar.
God damn.
And he's kind of like trying to...
Dude, if he makes something like The College Dropout, I'm so down.
Yeah, he's... That's what he's kind of aiming for. He's aiming for the blueprint. He's
just put it on there too.
Look, he's trying to make like one of the best rap albums.
If you make a Mad Villainy, it's game over.
It's not going to be Mad Villainy, but it's going to be like one of those like... I'm anticipating this album a lot. I think it could be very interesting.
Hey, Doom, don't uncle rap me.
It's apparently Kendrick Lamar and Anderson .Paak are also working on a song together that will be on this album that will be, come out as a single.
Listen,
that'll be interesting. We'll get a little glimpse of that, but you know, we'll have to audio face rule it. So
one single.
Better be right.
Better be good.
All right. And you know, this is our last story. We like to end audio face on a fun note most of the time. And Rihanna has been appointed the ambassador to Barbados.
Random fact of the day. She's 30. Go. Shit. Looks good for 30. God
30
damn.
And 30. Black don't
30
crack.
30 and 30. Black don't crack. I don't even know what to say to that, but no politics. Apparently Barbados. Don't hide your money.
She is, like, of, she has, this isn't, like, a random thing. Like, her, is her family from there?
I have no idea.
You see. Her mother country. So I guess she has some relationship to Barbados. Maybe I should have known this before.
Then you allow it. I'll allow it.
Yeah, so it has something. Oh, there's a Rihanna drive in Barbados. So she's clearly loved in Barbados. I don't know this about her specifically. Maybe I should have done more research. But yeah, that's. Did Trump appoint her for that? Or I'm not sure how that works.
How does that's actually a really good idea. I don't know how it works in this country. Because ironically, I know how it works in other countries.
Inside baseball about ambassadorship, it's kind of just symbolic for sure.
Depending on the nation.
Yes, absolutely. So there are some nations where, like, okay, we need to make sure our ambassador is like a smart person, knows their shit.
Ambassador to
the
Russia,
country.
Ambassador to Greece, they owe me money. Ambassador to the Turkish Islands.
Yes and no. I mean,
depends on the politics.
Let's just say this administration has not been that great with appointees in general in the executive office, especially not ambassadors, hashtag no politics. But yeah, with other countries where it's not that Barbados is less important than China or England, it's just that things are less volatile, and so you can afford to have a celebrity who may not honestly be keeping on the day-to-day of everything politics like I do, unfortunately, to kind of act as a liaison between that country. And who better than Riri? I see.
Fuck it. All right, that was episode 67. Thank you all for listening. I hope you enjoy these albums. Because they're actually pretty good. Listen to both of them.
This is a very good week in music.
Yeah, and then tomorrow we will do the other three albums. We will review them. It will probably be a little bit longer of an episode tomorrow.
It'll absolutely be a little bit longer.
I'm not coming home straight from work. He's not going to be dead, and I'm hashtag on vacation now. Allegedly.
Yes.
I will find out tomorrow if I'm going to... I'm either going to be in a good mood or a bad mood. Because I'll either be like, you're racing again.
You know what? You're going to be in a good mood because we're going to be talking about three pretty solid albums.
I can talk
albums.
About
music is back in full swing. The summer was a little bit interesting, but music is back in full swing.
And I can talk about all the good stuff too, because they're all fucking singles.
Yeah, it's gonna be a wonderful autumn. Absolutely,
dude,
stay with us. Make sure you subscribe.
Is just good shit.
Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. Make sure you follow Sean on all the social medias at SW Flores on Twitter and Instagram for his triathlon travels and other cool things. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at AudioFacePod, and I'm on Twitter at Dan from the web and on Instagram at Dan from the internet. Thank you so much, and we'll see you very shortly. Bye.
Cheers.